On episode 10 of Not the Model Minority, I talked to Dr. Maggie Kang, a radiologist turned life coach who is a TEDx speaker and has also been a featured guest on CBS News and 52 Weeks of Hope.
Welcome to the Not the Model Minority podcast, a podcast about the unique careers and perspectives of Asian Americans. On today's episode of Not the Model Minority podcast, we'll be talking to Dr. Maggie Kang, a radiologist turned life coach who helps her clients manage their lives with greater clarity and confidence. She is a TEDx speaker and has been a featured guest on CBS News and 52 Weeks of Hope. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Kang.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So my first question is, what is your educational background?
So I guess I'm more of that traditional path. I went to Cornell and I majored in history. And then I went to medical school in Virginia after I married my husband at the Medical College of Virginia. And then I moved back up to the Northeast. I forgot to mention I'm originally from New York, and I did my internship in radiology at Yale New Haven Hospital.
Wow.
And then I moved back down to Virginia after we had our first son, Jake. Mm-hmm. And here we are in Northern Virginia still.
Wow. So you mentioned that you originally became a radiologist, like a doctor. So what made you interested in becoming a life coach?
Oh, right. Yeah, that was a huge life change. And that was more kind of a recent phenomenon, really. That happened sort of in response to kind of a traumatic incident that we had with our daughter. So we have two kids, Jake and our daughter, Nell, who is right now 16, but she was diagnosed with a rare disease at age 8. And that really was kind of the life-altering event for us. And so it's a rare disease called neuromyelitis optica spectrum disease. And it basically, it's potentially fatal. It can manifest in the optic nerves and the brain and the spinal cord. So it can cause blindness and paralysis. And so for her, it manifested in the brain primarily. And she did have paralysis of her cranial nerve. So she couldn't speak or eat or swallow. And then she was paralyzed in her right upper extremity at the time that she was hospitalized. So recovering from that experience was very challenging. It probably took us about 2 years to really get her back into full-time school. And she is doing much better now. And we're so lucky because the foundation has done so much work in creating and passing these therapies by the FDA, which was just incredible during sort of a 5-year time span, which is really unbelievable. So she was very lucky. She was diagnosed at a time where there were therapies available. So she didn't have any sort of very long-term disability. So that all being said, because it was so challenging, it really was a stressful time in our lives and I needed a way to manage it. And incidentally, that was very similar to the time of the pandemic. So mm-hmm. She was diagnosed in 2018, but still she was having challenges going into 2020, and we were hospitalized during the pandemic. And so it was really challenging on so many levels, and I didn't have an opportunity to take care of myself. And so mm-hmm. when I realized that that was so important for our family and our mental and physical health, I really invested in life coaching because I've discovered that it was not only a way to kind of manage stress. I guess at first I thought it was somewhat like therapy, but it isn't really. It's different. And in some ways it was more appropriate for me and more powerful because I was able to kind of change my way of thinking fundamentally about how, to manage sort of negative circumstances or challenging things that come your way. And so when I did that, I noticed it had a huge impact on my life, my health, as well as my daughter's. So I fully committed to becoming certified during the pandemic, which was a perfect time to do it. And then now I work with the foundation and I coach not only parents of kids with chronic needs, but just, moms reach out to me for all sorts of challenges being a mom because there are so many. It's such a tough job at times.
Yeah. Wow. So definitely I bet radiology and life coaching are pretty different fields, but have you found any similarities after going through both?
Well, it's interesting because I think that the radiology in the training of itself was so kind of rigorous and challenging. It brought me to a mental state of mind that I felt like I could do anything. And so switching gears into a completely different sort of career and skill set was, I guess, easier for me because I really had this belief I could do anything. And so I always tell my kids that I became very strong and I had like nerves of steel going through a challenging residency. And so maybe it was in some ways a launching pad for just learning personal strength and resilience and that sort of thing. But
Wow.
otherwise, the practice itself, yeah, not so similar, but I do understand kind of the emotional impact of receiving that diagnosis because when I guess worked in mammography, you know, telling patients even that if they have a biopsy or the result of a biopsy or telling somebody they have cancer, it's so that's traumatic. And I guess being on that end of the deliverer of information like that, and then being on the receiving end, I understand both sides. And so maybe in some ways it helped me to kind of bridge that gap because I talked to a lot of moms who received diagnoses, and it's really hard to hear that your kid is sick or in some ways has challenges that are unique.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I guess moving more on to like challenges, like what have been some of the challenges you faced as a life coach?
Well, you know, I think it at first it was a tough thing to kind of tell my family that I was doing because nobody's ever heard of it. I guess, you know, in that sort of Asian world that we live in, there were certain kind of traditional fields that people are very well aware of. And I obviously life coach is not it's not like a regulated industry. There's no exams or actual well-known certifications like law or a field like medicine. So in that way, it was harder because I had to explain so much of what it was and to tell my family that this was something legit, or at least that I thought it was legit and this is what I'm going to do because it was fulfilling. So I think that that was one challenge, trying to explain myself to people close to me who just saw me as a physician mom and I'm a radiologist and this is what I do and this is what I would do for the rest of my life. And I think that that was the belief of the people close to me. But what I've come to realize is that we're living a lot longer. And I actually tell my kids this, I, you know, like prepare to do three different careers because I think doing one thing for the rest of your life is somewhat boring. And I think it's really good to be able to learn about different fields and meet different people and just consider things from different perspectives. And I think that's what I'm doing right now. Also, another aspect of it that I like is that I'm engaging with people in a more personal way because radiology is a field of medicine where you do that less because I engage with images and it's really just information that I'm providing physicians. I would say mammography and maybe ultrasound are the only, you know, areas in radiology where you are really engaging with patients, unless I guess interventional radiology too, but that's very separate.
Yeah, I guess this goes to what are there some of the interesting parts of being a life coach as
I
you're
love being able to help people kind of almost immediately. I think what I've come to realize is that a lot of people, though their lives may look great on the outside and day to day they look good, I feel like a lot of people are very lonely. And when they seek out help, it's not just for the thing that they're coming to me with. It's often layers and layers of other struggles that they've had. And I feel like when we kind of go through it and we sort of, you know, go through the layers and realize that there's so much more there and sort of unearthing what is really kind of their pain points. And when they recognize that and they're able to kind of release that in their lives, they feel more joyful. And I find that extremely rewarding. And it's a reward that I don't obviously really encounter in radiology. I mean, I love to give good news, but oftentimes that isn't the case because that's why they come to radiology as follow-up. There's always, you know, an issue. And I love it if they have, you know, if they have had a history of cancer and they haven't had a recurrence, it's fabulous news. But more often than not, we don't see good things on radiology, and I'm also sort of tired of seeing disease. It's very kind of heavy after what has happened to Nell. Because, by the way, I was the first one to see her MRI in the ER, and I talk about that on my TEDx talk, just that shock and seeing that this was my kid, and I had no idea that she could possibly have a disease like this. So I guess that's somewhat PTSD, and that's why I'm sort of happy to move on from radiology. I think it's still seeing disease in all young patients and old in anybody doesn't feel good.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess, yeah, this has, I guess, like for you, like, did being Asian American have anything to do with your career choice? Because like, I'm assuming like maybe because of Asian pressure, you might have been like pressured, like my parents have been, like to become like a doctor, like a radiologist. So.
Right. I mean, both my parents were physicians, and I think just by familiarity and example, it seemed to make sense. But I really felt like I enjoyed caring for people, and I thought that this could be a good fit for me. But I guess that obviously changed a little bit because I chose radiology, which is less interaction with people. So I would say yes, for sure, that there was influence from my parents and family. But I really loved radiology when I got into it. Just the science of being able to see pathology and understand it was fascinating. And that was probably the peak of my enjoyment. And then afterwards, when I went into private practice, that's felt to me more like a grind. And so it was less enjoyable. And maybe it was also because I'm no longer in an academic institution where you're sort of on the front edge of all learning and excitement and research. I think private practice is very different. It's a little bit more of a grind, just like volumes and less time and just, cranking out the cases. So that over time that became less and less rewarding. But I think I enjoyed it for a good decade. And then after that, in the back of my mind, I always thought, what else might I do? I had no idea or no kind of additional skill that was ready to go. So at the time that my daughter got sick, I didn't realize that this was an opportunity for me to kind of, I guess, grow in a different direction. And so the life coaching just sort of came upon me, surprisingly, but it ended up being incredibly rewarding.
I mean, it was so great talking to you, Dr. King. I really appreciate it. And it's really interesting, like, how you talk about how you, like, really, like how you change careers and how like you've experienced different things. I think it's really interesting.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. This has been the Not the Model Minority Podcast. Be sure to stay tuned in for the next one. Brian Yang, signing off. Be sure to hit the follow button to never miss another episode of Not the Model Minority Podcast. See you next time.